Hello and welcome to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. At Emmanuel Croydon, we exist to be a community drawn together by our desire to know and follow Jesus. We long to become disciples of Jesus who are equipped to serve him in the whole of life, transforming families, communities and workplaces as we love God with heart, mind, soul and strength. We hope you enjoy this week's talk from the evening service. Thank you for joining us today. Grace and peace to you.
Evening, everyone. Lovely to see you all. I hope you're well, and thank you to all of you, particularly who are still here, basically having not left for some of you weeks at a time. And I just really appreciate all that you've put in. And may the words of that first song be particularly true for each one of us, particularly you, though, that strength rises from the Lord as we get together. In my third year of university, I had the chance to travel a bit. I was studying languages, and I, in that third year, you're supposed to sort of go full immersion. So you go and spend some time in the country, speaks the language. I joined my friend Rob on a stint with IFES, which is an international student organization, evangelical student organization in Minsk in Belarus. And things were a bit different then. I mean, it was still quite closed, but not like now. And we had some great fun times sharing the gospel with Belarusian students. We had evangelistic film nights where we'd show a film and then think about the themes that came out of it, look at the scriptures together. We had one-to-ones with the students. It was a time of enormous change as well. So it was only 12, 13 years after the wall had come down, the Soviet Union had broken up. And there was extraordinary spiritual growth happening in Belarus. One of the privileges of that time is that we got to visit Belarusian churches. Every Protestant church in Belarus pretty much was at the most 12 years old at that stage. And some of them were by that stage absolutely massive. We went to one place called Novaya Zhizn, New Life, which in 2004 was 1,500 people. They met in a stable that they'd managed to get hold of, although they were never allowed to get there. And actually this year, the government raised this building to the ground and said the organization no longer exists, you may no longer meet, and so it's precarious stuff. But anyway, it was an opportunity to learn how different Christians worship. And I remember coming to this church. It was a Pentecostal church. My experience up to this point had been, wonderful. I was really appreciative of the people who shared the gospel with me, but it was quite so hands down, if you know what I mean. Relatively controlled church. And these guys were definitely not hands down. And it was wild. The particular moment it would all kick off was the prayer time. Now, we've had a wonderful prayer time. Thank you, Wendy. And you've led us beautifully and spirit-filled. This was a little bit different. So what would happen is the leader would say, Molimsa, which means let's pray. And then straight away, all 1,500 people in the building would pray at the same time, out loud, in tongues. Now, if you've never come across praying in tongues or speaking in tongues, it's basically when people speak in a language that to most, but usually is not really intelligible to anyone else. And bearing in mind, I could hardly speak the Russian that they were speaking when it was normal. Like, this was another thing. And it was absolute mayhem. I didn't know where to look, what to do, where to stand, what to understand. But even as I was totally freaked out by this experience, I was also immensely challenged and not a bit encouraged. Because it was as if there was a welling up of the Spirit, not just on the stage, but in every believer who was there. The Spirit was alive and active. I am I am too tall for a stand that doesn't stay upright. Have we got the clip anywhere? It keeps... I fear that my talk might get less and less intelligible as my stand gets lower and lower and lower. So that was such an eye-opener for me. And I remember coming back from it and thinking, wow, what have I not been told? I had no way of making sense of what I'd seen. Part of me was thinking, this is very strange, perhaps it's wacky and should be kind of, you know, best forgotten. Thank you so much, Stu. And another part of me thought, well, no, perhaps there's something to learn here. Now, today we're starting a series on spiritual gifts. I don't know whether you've had an experience like mine there. We will probably come to this with all sorts of different personal experiences and indeed our own convictions. The reason we're doing this, the first one, is that as I speak to people in our church, increasingly it comes up in conversation. People ask me, what is Emmanuel's teaching and practice in relation to spiritual gifts, prophecy, words of knowledge, that kind of thing? So I thought, if I'm going to answer that once, I might as well just answer it once rather than answer it many times. So we're going to formalize it that way, put it on record. The second reason is that God apparently does not want us to be ignorant of these things. In a moment, Dima's going to read to us from 1 Corinthians. And 1 Corinthians 12 says, I do not want you, brothers, to be ignorant about spiritual gifts. I don't want you to be uninformed. In other words, it's the Lord's will that we should understand these things. And the third reason is that I think we sense in our church an increasing desire to see more of God's work through the Spirit in our gatherings. That's really exciting. It feels like a good moment to learn and to do so in an informed and biblical way. I'll give you a quick preview of what we're aiming for in the whole sermon series. If we could have our first slide up here. Briefly, I want to affirm the continuing presence of the gifts. So basically say they're real. It's something for the church. Bring context. So try and put them in their right place. Get the theological framework around them. Get the right expectations. Get the right emphasis. Not too much, not too little. Talk a little bit about the dangers and excesses. Where could this derail? I want to give some practical pointers how we can actually use the gifts. And then I want, I hope that we can foster an expectation of a son of kind of give it a go environment. One of the things about exploring the spiritual gifts is that often we stop not because we don't believe they're real, but because we think we're going to look silly if we try. And so it's just as much about the environment in our church as it is about what we believe if we're going to enjoy the benefits of the spiritual gifts. Sermon series is four sermons. This one's kind of an introduction, quite a long preamble, just a brief bit, humble ambitions for today. I just want to say a few things about chapter 12, verses 1 to 12 of 1 Corinthians. Before we even do that, I want to get... I want to sort of scratch where people are itching, okay? So what we're going to do is we're going to share how we feel about a sermon series on spiritual gifts, okay? And this wonderful whiteboard here is going to contain our thoughts. So this is what's going to... Next slide, please. I would like you, okay, to just chat to the person next to you about your... Have we got another slide after this one? Thank you so much. Hopes, fears, and questions in relation to the spiritual gifts. Now, if you've never met the person next to you, it's a great opportunity to kind of say hi and all the rest of it. You may have absolutely no idea what we're talking about, in which case, that's brilliant. You've got loads of questions, so that you won't struggle to have anything to put up here. Have a little bit of a chat with the person next to you. You can choose hopes, fears, questions, or all three. And if you would like to, I would like you to. It'd be a great help. Come up here and put one of those things on the board, choosing judiciously either black, blue, or red. Okay, so opportunity to chat, and then we will crack on. Coffee. And there's coffee as well for you to get on the way if you need some refreshment.
Okay, now, I'm not going to answer these all right now. You'll be pleased to know, and I'm certainly very pleased to know that. But I'm just going to read them out for you. This is going to go in the far corner there. And so if you would like to add to it or have a look at it later on after we're wrapping up, I'd love to do that. We're going to see if in the coming weeks we can make the most of kind of answering as much of this as we can. Quick one here. Interpretation question mark. Are we becoming Pentecostal? How do we know if we have a gift? Are we open to the message from prophecy or do we want our own way? Love it, love it. What are all the gifts? Hope of understanding better. Growth in knowledge of God's strength and power. Know the difference between human versus God leading the gifts? Question mark. Discernment. Nice word. How do you safely develop prophecy in the church? Safely. Do we need to be given permission to use the gifts of the Spirit? Our hope is that our focus is on God and growing in our love for Him. Fear. I want to get out of the boat, but it feels safer in the boat. My hope is we will engage together in an attitude of love and acceptance so the Holy Spirit can lead us to use gifts that may be unfamiliar to our congregation. Okay, just before that goes, since I've asked you for hopes and fears, here are mine. Hopes, I hope that individually and together we can encounter God in new and powerful ways that will change our hearts and minds. I hope we can grow together in love for one another and with real excitement and openness to God. Fears, I worry we might get a bit sidetracked. I worry that we might lack courage and waste the opportunity. I'm a bit worried about that for myself, not wanting to get out of the comfort zone. Perhaps some of us have had negative experiences that have really colored, you know, where we've got to, and I worry about that a bit. Questions, I've just got so many. I've often wondered, have I missed out on something? Why is this new? Why did no one tell me about this? Is it for real? Are people pretending? What does it feel like to receive the gift of prophecy or healing? These are questions I've asked over the years. I have some answers now. What if in seeking a word or a prophecy, we misunderstand God's word and then we speak error and someone takes it wrong? Worse still, isn't it right for being abused? People standing up, speaking in God's name to gain control over others. How often, how widespread should we actually expect these gifts to be? And so on and so forth. And what if it just feels really, really weird? Is that okay? And many, many more questions besides. Okay, well, we're going to dive into three chapters of 1 Corinthians that are going to help us with these questions. And Dima is going to read for us. And this is going to go into the far corner. And you can add to it if you would like to at the end. Dima, thank you.
Church. Cool. All right, there we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If you've got a mobile phone, open it up. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'll be starting for the first one. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. This is the word of the Lord.
Right. Okay, so I'd just like to pick up on five things in relatively quick succession from this passage. Number one, could I have the next slide, please, Sam? It all starts with Jesus is Lord. The spiritual gifts start with Jesus is Lord. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1.
Now, about spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagan, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. We're going to get on to thinking specifically about what exactly the different gifts of the Holy Spirit are, the gift of speaking in tongues, prophecy, words of wisdom, so forth. But a healthy understanding of them all can only come if we grasp the most important action, the most important impact of the Holy Spirit in anyone's life is to enable us to say, Jesus is Lord. Right now, when I say that, obviously, in a sense, anyone can say Jesus is Lord. They can say the words, Jesus is Lord. I don't mean that. The Holy Spirit enables us to mean and believe that Jesus is Lord. Forget what else God might do with me or you. This is your and my priority before anything else, that our lips and our lives and our hearts say, Jesus is Lord. That is actually the most basic evidence of the Spirit in anyone's life. Jesus is Lord. It's the simplest summary of what it means to be a Christian. To be a Christian means to say and believe Jesus is Lord. Two parts to that, Jesus is Lord. Jesus. That is Jesus, not me, not the voice of my friends, not the silent expectation of my parents, not Krishna, Buddha, Confucius. Jesus is Lord. He's the one. And Jesus is Lord. That is a title of supremacy. He's on the throne of my life. Jesus is the ultimate. He is the highest. It means I believe Jesus has defeated death and evil. He has the focus of my life. He is the one I want to obey. If he says it, I will do it. I trust him for today. Jesus is Lord. I believe he's coming back. Jesus is Lord. Even between now and then, I'm convinced everything belongs to him. I belong to him. My life is his. Jesus is Lord. And to say that, on one level, of course, is very easy. Three words. But it is actually massive. It is giving Jesus the keys to your life. Jesus is Lord. And yet, the implication of these verses is that it is the Holy Spirit's ministry to bring us to the point that we say that. It's not something that we just muster up the courage. We're like, oh, I'm going to try really hard and just go Jesus' way. We need the Holy Spirit to come into us and change our hearts to make us genuinely believe and live like Jesus is Lord. But it is essential. And if you're not sure about whether Jesus is Lord, pretty much don't worry about anything else I'm going to say this evening. This is the bit you have to get right. And actually, if there's anything in your life right now where the Lord has really put the finger on it, and you know you're doing this thing and he's telling you this isn't right, or you're not doing something and you know he's saying to you, you must do this, don't worry about the stuff that's coming next. Let's just sort out that bit. And I say that as much for myself as I do for any of us. Jesus is Lord. If we want the Holy Spirit, fundamentally, we've got to be prepared to believe and obey Jesus is Lord. That's where the ministry of the Holy Spirit starts. Okay, that's the longest of the five. Second, unity and diversity in the gifts of the Spirit. They're there. Unity and diversity are there in the gifts of the Spirit. Now, I don't know whether you can count two different things at the same time. Count the sames and the difference. And the difference. That's the word, different. Okay, here we go. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. And actually, verse 11 kind of picks up the same idea. All of these work of one and the same, that's the fourth same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. So God has one will, one purpose. You won't get God giving one word to one person that says go left and another word to another person that says the same group of people need to go right. You won't get a prophetic word from God telling you to do the opposite of what the Spirit has already revealed in Scripture. There's one God. If when we start trying to use our spiritual gifts, we find ourselves in a great big tussle about the future of the church and we're fighting about it. One's got a word this way, one's got a word that way. It is not of the Lord. One Lord, one Spirit. Somewhere we've got it wrong. Human ideas have crept in one way or the other. But to say he is one God and therefore one will does not mean he works in the same way all the time. He's going to be working through his Spirit in different ways. Now, that is true in so many ways. There's a couple of gifts mentioned here. You can scan down from verse 7. You've got a message of wisdom, message of knowledge, gift of faith, gifts of healing, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, speaking in tongues, interpreting tongues. That's actually not all the spiritual gifts there are in the New Testament. There's plenty more: teaching, service, administration, mercy, leadership, or ministry, depending how you think about it, generosity, hospitality, encouragement. These are all gifts of the Spirit. And personally, I get to the point, you read the different lists, and there's some in Romans 12, there's some in Ephesians 4, there's 1 Corinthians 12, 14. That makes me think that actually nowhere in the New Testament is there kind of the definitive list of all the gifts. And I don't think we need to get too wound up about exactly how we categorize them. The point is, the Spirit works in many, many different ways. So we expect the Spirit to work consistently in our church, but diversely. Now, why is that important? I think every church has its biases. Every church has gifts that they really like and honor, and then other gifts that they're like, yeah, not so bothered. And so the challenge for us really, I think, as we go through this is how do we get all of those gifts, the different ways? Perhaps, you know, revelatory gifts, prophecy, word of knowledge, that's not such a big thing for us. Perhaps we need to focus more on that. But perhaps there are other gifts that we've also neglected. The gifts of the Spirit come in unity and diversity. Unity and diversity. Okay, third one. Everyone gets to play. Everyone gets to play. This is a little phrase that the famous preacher John Wimber used to use. And it's right here in 1 Corinthians 12. Everyone gets to play. Verse 7, it says, "Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given, da, 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 to another," and so on and so forth. Everyone gets to play. Rowing is my favorite sport. It used to be anyway. That's what I got really into. And I don't know, many of you are familiar with rowing. It's quite different from a lot of sports. I married into a family full of people who are good at ball sports. And the joke they used to say to me is, you know, rowing is not a sport, it's transport. Possibly. But here's the thing I really loved about rowing. There are no glory girls or glory boys in rowing. In fact, if you have a team in which it's unequally sort of made up, you've got one huge person rowing on one side of the boat, it goes round in circles. You're actually worse off if there's one person who's completely disproportionately stronger than everyone else. And the picture that Paul gives of the Spirit's manifestation is it's more rowing than it is football. No, yeah, you know, I honor given due to football and all the rest of it. But hear me out here. Everyone gets to play. Everyone has a job together. In a Spirit-filled church, it is not just the preacher or the staff team or the musicians or whatever other thing it is. They kind of do the Spirit-filled work. And no one else does. Everyone does. It says, "Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." So if you are a Christian, the Lord has given you something of his Spirit that is for the good of all of us here. No exceptions. It may not be all of these gifts. It probably isn't. There's probably a couple, it's definitely not. But it'll be one of those gifts that's in the New Testament you have, and it's for the benefit of everyone else. That is God's agenda for you. Now, I know it's hard, because basically what it means is you can't just come into church and just chill out at the back and not do anything. Everyone has a job. Everyone has something for the common good. That is God's agenda. Everyone gets to play. Okay. Next, we expect the supernatural. we expect the supernatural. So let me read those verses from 7 now more slowly. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, interpretation of tongues. Now, whatever else we may say about these verses, they clearly anticipate the supernatural. And there are two kinds of things going on here that are particularly supernatural. There are gifts of revelation, that is, gifts that basically enable us to know something that we wouldn't naturally know, wisdom, knowledge, discerning spirits, interpretation of tongues. And then there are also gifts of healing, miraculous powers, where a person has a condition that is changed not by medical intervention or something like that, but by God. We're going to define those a bit more closely as we go on, but for now, let's just step back and see. This is, spiritual gifts are supernatural gifts. In that sense, they are weird. I mean, that basically is what weird is, isn't it? Weird is not normal. Spiritual gifts are weird. Now, that doesn't mean that if you go into church and it feels weird, it's right, because it may just be weird. But it also means that just because it's weird doesn't mean it's wrong. Supernatural gifts. Now, I don't know how that makes you feel. Some of us will be so excited about that. Actually, bring it on. I love the supernatural. Others are just sort of quietly, internally freaked out by that concept. But I think we can all recognize, wherever we are on that spectrum, that is God's intention. Now, there is great breadth of experience across the church worldwide. In some parts of the world, supernatural is given. It's there, everywhere. In other parts of the world, like ours particularly, actually, we're really wary of the supernatural. If you can't kind of do it in controlled conditions in the lab, we're like, perhaps not. We worry about it. Is it an illusion, or worse even? Now, there has always been a limit to the supernatural. I think we've got to recognize that. There were gifts of healing in Paul's time, but none of the people he wrote to in Corinth are still alive to talk about their experience. So obviously, however many times they were prayed for, at some stage their lives ended, the gift of healing was no longer available to them. At some stage, the supernatural stops. But for now, let's recognize there is undeniably the supernatural through the gift of the Spirit. So here's my question for you. Do you want the supernatural in this church? Do you want it, and not just in a kind of abstract way, but do you want to go on the journey of seeing the supernatural? Now, I say that not in the sense that we've never seen anything supernatural in our church before, but I say it as a challenge to myself and all of us. That is the direction that the work of the Spirit will take us. Do we want it? And then finally, very briefly, this is God's work. The last verse. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. I don't know what the Lord is going to do amongst us through this sermon series. I'm not quite sure what he's going to do in me. I'm looking forward to it. I hope that he will fan into flame our attitude and our courage, that we will nurture these gifts. But even as I'm unsure, I find this last verse so heartening. It is the Lord's work. I don't distribute the gifts. You don't distribute the gifts. We don't collectively distribute the gifts. They're not located in the pigeonholes at the back. The Lord distributes the gifts. He does, and he will do it just in case we hadn't got it. Paul says, just as he determines. He will give us the gifts that we need. And I want to say right now, I'm so grateful for the gifts that we already have. And we've enjoyed those gifts this evening. We've enjoyed those gifts this whole week. And I think that gives us enough confidence to know that the Lord will continue. And we can look forward to how he will give those gifts in the future. Okay. I want to wrap up there for the moment. We're going to have a time of prayer. And Natasha's going to lead us. And I just want to suggest that we think long term here. Let's be using this time. There's probably lots of thoughts that have come into our minds to prepare for the coming weeks and to put ourselves before the Lord individually and as a whole for what he might do.
Thanks for listening to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. For more information about our church and everything we have going on, visit our website, emmanuelcroydon.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram to see and hear what's going on in the life of our church. God bless you and have a wonderful week.